ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
Good morning, everybody. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Big Monday Show. Rude Pundit, Eric Bollert, Jim Ward. Let's start a betting pool whether Jim Ward will come
on. He confirmed with us on Friday.
He did it. Well, you know what? He is still bathing in his triumph of his happy hour podcast.
That was a great happy hour.
His return to happy hour.
Yes. He and Carlos Alzraki are they're just wrong together on every level. Don't even know.
It's like they're trying to out-wrong each other.
Yes. Yes.
In different voices and characters
right.
The whole time.
Exactly. Please, I urge you to hear how wrong it really was.
Yes.
You are... What have you done to yourself, as Travis would say? There's a lot less going on over there. Hair?
I trimmed.
Okay. So just beard trim, not haircut?
No, I did not get a haircut.
It's like a...
It's like someone shook an Etch-A-Sketch over the weekend.
A woolly willy. You know?
Something's...
I feel like his fans can see more of him now.
I know, it really is.
Your fan base is going to be very pleased.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful.
And I have a double chin, so that beard might come right back.
You look younger.
It does make you look younger.
He looks like a little boy.
Yeah.
Aww.
So cute. All right, speaking of happy... Oh, look, this is an hour of the happy... In honor of the Happy Hour podcast. This week, we finally dragged the whore down to our level. May Lee is going to do happy hour with us.
I've already volunteered to be her designated driver. We live
near
each other.
All I have to do is get a couple of drinks in the whore. She's like, I don't know. You know, the internet's forever. I'm like, just do it.
Are you sure what story she's going to tell about you? That's what you should be worried
about.
Yeah,
we are going to get a whole lot of Stephanie Miller stories.
You should be the scared one.
Yeah. She knows you very well, and she's had a lot of drinks with you, so a lot of stories have come out.
And she's been through the dark times.
She blurts stuff out on the morning show because I'm so old that I don't remember half the stories. And I'm like, I did what now? Who can even tell if she's lying? I mean, she could be. Yeah. Who can even say?
And you were too drunk to remember.
Right. Could have.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's what the happy hour is all about. It's more about life stories and less about politics.
Right. I don't even know what Friday was about because I was...
drunk.
Right. And I don't... Those two...
But you didn't start drinking early like you usually do.
As far as you know.
Oh, we taped early, so I was
that's
like...
That's right.
Oh, I will sacrifice for the show. I will start drinking this early.
You hit the ground running on Friday.
Yes, I did. Okay. Norma, let's see. Norma, filth, I dove in. Steph, I upgraded my $6.95 a month video happy hour filth cast to the year's worth at only $3.95 a month if you buy a year in advance. Bling, yay. Like pennies. Pennies. You can't find filth that cheap anywhere.
No.
No.
Okay, love you all, and thanks for the filth cast. I live vicariously through you, Steph. Oh, and C-word.
Okay.
And they don't. Nobody says C-word. They just say own.
Yeah.
Because that's the official salutation of the happy hour.
See you next Tuesday?
Yes. All right. Oh, I've already been instructed not to hold something up to the camera that someone sent me.
Yeah, because, that wooden plaque.
Okay. I'll see what that says later. All right, then.
Free speech doesn't care.
You're right. Free speech doesn't care.
Oh, well then. We have also something to look forward
Tempting
to.
Tempting fate now.
What does Mama's plaque say? All right, so a lot of stuff to get to. Ebola. What's more fun than that?
Yes.
Oh, did you see this? Ebola vaccine would have likely been found by now if not for budget cuts, according to the director of the, National Health Service. Not important. It's the director of whatever. Something that
NIH.
Prevents us all from dying of a hemorrhagic disease, but it's not important now.
The NIH.
Right.
Not the National Health Service.
Right. You know what I'm talking about.
That's what Iceland has.
The people in charge of making sure we don't bleed from our eye holes.
Yes.
Sorry, I thought it was on the happy hour.
You would think it's all a priority right now.
Hmm?
Did you?
She's going to say
did
the other
Did you really swap out a-hole for eye-hole?
I think I did.
Yeah,
at the very last minute, I came to a screeching halt. That's why Monday's a little like right after the happy hour. I'm like, it's a regular show. Okay. Hi, FCC.
That's the problem with taping on Friday is you've had all weekend to think about it in that terms.
Right. Right. Okay, so we have, Mama can get married now if only I had
a date?
Right. Okay, that's not important now. What's important now is same-sex marriage ban overturned in North Carolina.
Yep.
Where my 91-year-old Republican mom lives. She can't travel anymore, so presumably.
So your mom could attend the wedding?
I'd have to go to Asheville or somewhere. Pardon me?
Your mom could attend the wedding.
Yes, exactly. Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear, I can't believe she'd find someone.
She would go to your wedding.
She would go.
Dear.
She would go to your
wedding. Yes, she would. However, okay, did I ask you to send me this? Because this cracks me up.
Yeah.
So Sean Hannity, you guys clearly both work out, gym rats, both y'all y'alls.
A little bit.
Okay, yeah. A little bit of enthusiasm.
A little bit.
For the weights and the whatever it is you boys do. Anyway.
I'm allergic to cardio.
Right, of course you are.
I don't do cardio.
Okay, listen, can everybody just focus on what Mama's story?
You're the one who brought it up.
Okay, so Sean Hannity, noted homophobe over the years. Now he says he doesn't care anymore. Eric Boulder writes a great piece this week on how Fox News has given up. But they haven't given up because it's the right thing to do. They've given up because they've lost the fight politically, and it's over. So it's just now it's like an edict has come down. Don't mention that.
Computer says no.
The homo gays, don't.
Every once in a while, a straggler will mention it.
Well, right.
They quickly move on after that.
Tony Perkins debating our buddy, our pal, Ted Olson.
Oh, okay.
And we have sound bites from that.
And they brought in the conservative.
Mother Blood, no. Pardon me?
They brought in the conservative to take on Tony Perkins. So they're framing it as a conservative argument now.
That was really, really
clever.
Smart.
Clever.
And then the host was obviously on Olson's side.
Right.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
It was like,
right.
Just,
you know what?
See, now that it's like the religious right, they're like the crazy clown. They're like the bearded lady from Fox News. Oh, yeah, come on in, Tony Perkins.
Just threw him under the bus. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Anyway, and I told this story because we know someone we worked with. Remember, our old show used to be at ABC Radio Network, the evening show.
Yes.
And so we knew someone that worked with us, also worked with Sean Hannity.
Yep.
Remember, she told the story about when she left. She said he was always very nice to her.
Yeah.
And she came in to say goodbye, and he goes, "Oh, thank you so much for all you've done for me. What do you do? What do you do? And you're married? Do you have kids?" And she said, "No, Sean, I'm gay." And I swear, he said, "Oh, I'm sorry."
Yeah.
And she goes, "It's okay, Sean.
It's
okay. It's not a disease. I'm fine.
I'm gonna recover."
Yeah.
It's a manageable condition.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But you know what? That was also a different time.
It was a different time. It was a long time ago. I'm sure he's evolved.
He may. I mean, as more and more people come out, especially at Fox News, the people there will realize that...
Chef, I'm sorry, what were you saying?
You've got friends.
Excuse me.
Well, I mean, like support staff and stuff like that.
Yes.
You know.
It could be. However, this is why I had to have you send me this, because he is featured in the fitness section in the LA Times this weekend. And if he does not do the gayest workout in the history of the world, I don't know who does. Because this...
That's total Tybo.
Can I have some gay workout music? Because this is what? Okay. Here he is punching something that a guy is holding up. Sean Hannity proves he's a do-and-diet kind of guy. You know why I think he went on a diet, Chris?
Why?
Because you have frequently referred to him as a tub of goo on
the
show.
Well, he is a tub of goo. I've met him.
He's not a tub of goo anymore. He's lost 27 pounds. Good for him. Nicely done, sir.
How tall is Sean Hannity?
He's roughly 7 feet two.
He's a little shorter than I am.
Oh.
Yeah, so he's like 5'9".
Is he really?
Yeah.
He seems taller.
No, he's a little shorter than
I am. He can't be that petite then, because he weighs that means he weighs 10 pounds less than I do. I read that article.
He's not petite.
He's like at 180, and I'm like 190.
I think it's because, he features us all the time on his left-wing hate speech or whatever. He has heard you call him a tub of goo.
Well,
I'm just saying.
He is a
tub of goo. It's the lady that in the Sears Tufkins that shamed you, that made you into the man you are today.
Yes.
You have made Sean Hannity into the man he is today. Like fat shaming him on this show.
You're Sean Hannity's Sears lady.
He is shaped exactly like Fred Flintstone.
Well, yeah, his head is square for sure.
Right.
But anyway, here's my point.
And his gut and everything.
Okay.
Thick arms.
You guys would know. Tell me, is this not the gayest workout ever? For straight guy, noted homophobe, this is the gayest thing I've ever heard. I actually talked to a real trainer about this. I'm like, is this a kind of training? Or is this just sort of an excuse to, Okay. What about exercise? Sean says, I do 3 or 4 days a week, an eclectic mix of styles, kickboxing, Japanese jiu-jitsu, submission.
Submission?
What? Is that a workout? I asked the trainer yesterday.
Submission wrestling.
I was going to say, that's what happens on Friday nights in most gay bars.
Is that not the gayest training ever?
Submission
wrestling?
Yeah.
Just wondering how this pre-interview went. Right, but do you do submission wrestling?
I think that's kind of MMA-ish.
Yeah,
and so it's cloaked in like pure testosterone.
Oh, no. I'll get scared.
Okay.
Grappling. In addition to submission, grappling.
I want to see his grappling partner.
Filipino martial arts, blade and firearms training.
Does that burn calories?
Blade was one of the gayest vampire movies ever.
I actually, like, I think I spewed coffee out of my mouth. I was reading this Saturday morning. I was like, Chris, let's read this article. My instructor, who has multiple black belts and macho.
In his
and
dojo.
Trains military.
Sean's got a man crush.
He's the guy from what do you call it? Karate Kid. He's, yeah. He's the bad guy from Karate. He looks like the bad
Billy
guy from
Zabka.
Karate Kid.
He's Billy Zabka.
Kick him in the knee, Sean. Do it. Okay.
Do it for the dojo.
You've embarrassed the dojo, Sean. My instructor, who has multiple black belts and trains military and law enforcement people, calls it street martial arts. Oh, you're so tough.
He's got a man crush. Oh,
it's one nonstop hour of competitive intensity. At the end, I can barely keep my arms up. Wonder why. Okay.
Yeah, this sounds really gay.
Many days on Black and Blue. Is this not the gayest interview that you've ever heard? I'm Black and Blue. Oh, he's so tough.
I wonder what a safe word
is.
This
is like S&M. Submission grappling. I'm Black and Blue.
The reporter forgot to ask where the safe
black
word is.
Black and Blue around his wrists where the handcuffs held him.
No!
It's Mizrahi when it gets a little too tough.
Besides giving me more energy, confidence, and strength, I really like the self-defense aspect. Okay, this is the gayest part. Are you ready? My trainer will attack me and try to put me down, and I'll grapple and throw him.
You know what? It sounds like someone wandered into Bill O'Reilly and Geraldo Rivera's dungeon and liked what he saw.
A sex dungeon? Exactly. Yes. Oh, I'm sorry, Bill. Sorry, Geraldo.
That's a good
idea. Is that grappling or submission, technically?
How many calories do you burn doing that? That looks like a good ab exercise.
Okay, really? I had to call a trainer friend. I'm like, has anyone ever asked you to do this? Okay.
Have you asked her to do this?
One level gayer. Hang on. Okay, my trainer will attack me, try to put me down. I'll grapple and throw him. Take any scenario. Come up to me from behind. Put me in a chokehold. Put a gun to my head. Threaten me with a knife, and I'll know how to get out of it. You won't, you doughy pantload. Your trainer, you're probably paying him a fortune. He lets you. Oh, Sean, you're so...
For a minute there, it sounded like a Friday Night at the Eagle.
Yeah. Good Lord.
Come on, how do you put me in a chokehold?
You make it sound like you get threats. Yes, I've had threats. I've carried a firearm most of my adult life. I've always tried to avoid confrontation. But I've been confronted by people who don't like me. That's because you're a douche. Sorry. Look, for 3 hours on radio and one on TV, I'm giving strong political opinions. And you're a douche.
Yeah.
Strong and they're douchey. But it's nice to know if something happens, I can handle myself. No, you can't. You doughy pantload. You have security.
My God.
You have security guards to go everywhere. You can handle myself. Oh, please. Oh, you doughy pantload.
Oh, my God.
How do you really feel? How do you really feel, Steph?
I just haven't had that much fun in I don't know how long. Oh, I just had to read it over and over again.
During the commercial break, you want to go out there and rat and grapple? Wrestle you into submission?
I'm just saying I called a big-time trainer who has never heard. I'm like, what would you think if someone called you? Would you come over and grapple with me and try to put me down? Come up to me from behind, put me in a chokehold?
What's this idea of putting down? That color does not look good on you.
Yeah, right.
Put me down.
Just catty put downs.
Yeah. Stripes make you look fat.
Those gym shorts are awful.
Stop wearing horizontal, Sean. There's your put-down wrestling.
Oh, Lord. All right, I apologize for that. Be right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Rude Pundit coming up at the bottom of the hour. I previewed his piece on Friday.
Yes, you did.
The Quiet Competence of Barack Obama. Check it out.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Is he quietly competent?
Yes, he is.
Okay.
Okay. That's never, you don't
Well, then
that.
We don't need to talk
you
to
You don't hear that in the headlines much. Charles Johnson tweeted on the Ebola panic, I wonder if all the conservatives yelling that Ebola might become airborne realize it means they now believe in evolution. Oh.
All right.
Oh, speaking of science stack.
Okay.
This is bad news for me because, as I mentioned, marriage equality now will come to North Carolina where my mom lives. I can go there. Alaska.
Alaska.
Over the weekend. However, I am a bicyclist, as you know.
Yes, you are.
Nathan, he's part of my boy bike gang.
Uh-huh.
This is also bad news for you.
All right.
Just when I'm this close to being able to get married, if I could find a date.
Date.
Right. Cycling can cause men and women to grow a third testicle. And I don't know about you, but mine, too, are fine, and that would really cut my chances down.
I've never heard of this. You would think I would have heard of this.
Listen, it's no wonder Nathan's not comfortable in that chair. It's hard to accommodate that.
Are you comfortable over there,
Nate? It's like sitting on an exercise ball. South African scientists have dubbed a nodule that develops from the friction of rubbing a
That's
bike.
Not a testicle, it's a nodule.
Well, they're calling it a testicle.
What? They just called it a nodule.
Hmm. Scientists have documented a rare condition where cyclists grow a lump in their groin, and women can get it too. Repeated vibration and friction between the lowest pelvis bones, tissue underneath the bottom skin and the hard bike saddle causes the lump, according to the South African Journal Medicine. Let's see. The treatment includes surgery or a steroid injection. Well, that's not going to help my third ball get any less small. may help my beard, though.
Yeah.
Okay. They also suggest, changing bike saddles could help.
Okay.
There's one case of a 29-year-old female cyclist who developed a testicle.
Oh.
She was reluctant to give up the sport and opted to change the saddle, which on follow-up appears to have helped, said the report. Yeah, I have one of those. I have those lady-friendly seats. You've seen it, Nathan. I have a lady-friendly seat. It was invented by a gynecologist, actually.
Why is it lady-friendly?
I don't know. It's somehow it aerates and it does a thing that's, you know. It's just more friendly to your lady bits. That's all.
I would think seats would, male-friendly seats would be more important because men have more
your
stuff down there.
Your bits are not more important than my bits. I told you.
We have more stuff down there.
It was a gynecologist I met at a party, and she said, I specialize in vaginal abnormalities.
Right.
What?
Wow, the mind starts reeling there, right? A lot of things coming around, a little carousel in your thought bubble.
What
does that look like?
Did you ask her what?
What sort of things? Yeah, I don't, you know what? I think we were eating, so I was like, oh, okay, that's good.
Hmm.
Right. Okay, so in other science news.
Yes.
Does not involve
science.
Healthcare worker in Texas tests positive for Ebola was the big news over the weekend. A healthcare worker at the Dallas hospital.
Yep.
Where he helped, the employee helped care for Thomas Eric Duncan, the first person ever diagnosed with Ebola in the U.S. After a preliminary test. Senator John McCain.
Yeah.
About Ebola.
Americans have to be reassured here, and I don't think we are comforted by the fact that we were told there would never be a case of Ebola in the United States.
And we never said that.
That's not
Nobody
correct.
Ever said that.
Frankly, I'd like to know who's in charge, among other things.
Wow.
It would be a Surgeon General if you would approve one.
Right. There's that. And secondarily, nobody ever said but what do you mean we were told?
That's a lie. Senator
Nobody
John McCain is a liar.
Nobody ever said there would never be a case here. This is exactly what we talked to Charlie Pierce about. He said this is why, initially, we need to go help, because it's going to come here. That's
exactly
what infectious disease does. You dummy, John McCain. We were told why. I was told. No, you weren't told.
And he called for an Ebola czar. An Ebola czar would be fulfilled by a Surgeon General if we had one.
There you go. 29 minutes after the hour, right back with Rude Pundit on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Laugh 2 musical? World too much a better place for her mere presence in it?
How about constantly talks with food in her mouth?
Her heart's full of love. No one cares what's in her mouth.
Yes, right. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. Rude Pundit moved to the third hour.
Yeah.
He is taking care of some friend stuff. Okay, so we were great stuff, by the way. I loved his piece this week, obviously, because it's happy clappy.
You agree with him on something regarding Obama.
The whole thing. Right. Quiet confidence of Barack Obama. You haven't seen that in the news. Yeah, if you just go numbers by numbers. Oh, by the way, did I mention the deficit fell again?
Yep.
Yet again. Uh-huh. Yes. All right. Eric Moeller from Media Matters coming up top of the hour. So we were saying the news. How do we know this? Ebola vaccine. What's the matter?
There was something floating like right in my face. I don't know what it was.
Okay. All right.
It was like a feather.
Wow. Well, you are having trouble focusing this morning. Okay. Here we go. Come back. Okay. Ebola vaccine would likely have been found by now if not for budget cuts, according to the NIH director. Dr. Francis Collins, head of the National Institute of Health, said that a decade of stagnant spending has slowed down research on all items, including vaccinations for infectious diseases. As a result, he said the international community has been left playing catch-up on a potentially avoidable humanitarian catastrophe. This is what happens when you have one entire party in the United States that basically doesn't believe in science and is all about budget cuts. Right. He said NIH has been working on Ebola vaccine since 2001. It's not like we suddenly woke up and thought, oh, my gosh, we should have something ready here.
Yeah.
Yeah, scientists tend to think ahead like that. Frankly, had we not gone through our 10-year slide in research support, we probably would have had a vaccine in time for this that would have gone through clinical trials and would have been ready. Because we were saying, when this happened, they've been saying some of the stuff they're using, they haven't even tested it yet, hasn't been through clinical trials. But obviously, when they're trying to save somebody's life, he said it's not just production of vaccine that's been hampered by money shortfalls. He also said some therapeutics to fight Ebola were on a slower track than would have been ideal, or that would have happened if we had had a stable research support trajectory. We would have been a year or two ahead of where we are, which would have made all the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, thanks, budget cutties.
And great.
Okay. The Customs and Border Control Commissioner yesterday.
The expanded screening measures provide this layer of protection to the already established protocols to minimize the risk of another case of Ebola here in the United States.
That thing looks freaky. It's the temperature gun. They point at people.
Yes.
That's a little, like, traveling isn't stressful enough. You're just like, what?
Right. And people are getting jumpy at airports now. You know, they shut down LAX yesterday for a short time because they thought someone came in from...
Yeah, I mean, there was something in the paper yesterday. This is what happens when, again, as he was saying, you're playing catch-up on this, they were saying that it can't be transmitted until you have a fever, but now there's some, I guess, discussion about whether that's true, whether you have to actually be exhibiting fever in order to pass it.
Ebola is a relatively new disease. I mean, we don't know everything there is to know about it yet.
Right. And I think, as May was talking about it, when she's covered, SARS and bird flu and stuff in the past, that things do mutate.
Yeah.
Okay, the CDC director, Doug.
We're deeply concerned about this new development with a preliminary positive in a healthcare worker who cared for the index patient in Dallas on multiple occasions after his diagnosis. I think the fact that we don't know of a breach in protocol is concerning because clearly there was a breach in protocol. We have the ability to prevent the spread of Ebola by caring safely for patients.
Well, this is what happened. We were talking about the nurse in Spain. She treated the... I guess it was the missionary couple, right, that had it. But that's what they were saying, that there was some, that they know what the protocols are, as he was just saying. I can't remember what happened in that. Oh, she touched her face with her glove.
Yeah.
It was something that, you know.
And I read something this weekend. The most dangerous time when treating an Ebola patient is when the healthcare worker is removing the protective clothing, because that's when you break the seals. And everybody has to take off their gloves. Everybody has to take off the masks.
Right. Okay, the Dallas mayor, Mike Rollins.
At 7:15, a reverse 911 call was sent out to the four blocks around the apartment complex, and we left printed material at each door. So there are any questions, folks should call 311, and obviously if anyone feels sick or needs paramedics, they should call 911.
Yeah, I was reading a piece this weekend about it. It's a lot of work to try to track down all these people and make sure they're not traveling, make sure they're, I mean, that's the stuff that's hard. They quarantined somebody over the weekend, right? I can't remember, you know, because that's another decision and having to make sure somebody.
Sure.
And you know, for the length of time it would take to see if they're symptomatic.
Right.
The Dallas mayor, again. Yesterday.
The Dallas Fire and Rescue Hazmat Team has cleaned up the common areas and decontaminated any of the open areas of apartment complex.
Where the guy that died lived.
Yeah. No. The new healthcare worker.
Sorry. Yeah. Okay, and one more, Dallas County Judge Clay.
There's nothing about this case that changes that basic premise of science, and so it's important that while this is obviously bad news, it is not news that should bring about panic.
And this Clay Jenkins guy, the judge that we just heard from, I don't know why Dallas has a judge as the spokesperson for all of this Ebola stuff.
I don't either.
That just is a little weird to me.
This is what I was thinking of. New Jersey officials order symptomless NBC News crew into Ebola quarantine.
Okay, yeah.
New Jersey health officials have ordered into mandatory quarantine an NBC News crew that worked with the American cameraman who contracted Ebola in Liberia, though the group has no symptoms. I mean, I think they're obviously trying to err on the side of safety at this point. The freelance cameraman is receiving treatment right now at Nebraska Medical Center in Omaha. He's shown modest improvement and was in stable condition, so I guess that's good news for now. But, anyway, so that is all the latest. But, yeah, it does get a little scary in terms of not knowing, you know, how or if it's mutating or, again, you can pass it before you have a fever. I mean, I think there's some, you know, again, discussion in the scientific community about that.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, by the way, I love all the Republicans that are screaming to use the fund in Obamacare to help with Ebola because that they voted 30 times to repeal.
Right.
They're like, what's the holdup with the Obamacare funds for Ebola?
Voted to repeal it more than 30 times now.
See, this is the thing that makes me crazy. It's like they're in charge of closing the barn door after the horse.
Yeah.
Oh, we should do something now about...
We should fund Ebola research.
Who cut the funding for research like this? Okay. Senator Susan Collins of Maine thinks it's time for Republicans to let go of their efforts to repeal Obamacare. Oh, now?
Now?
Now a warning? After 30...
Now a warning?
Right. She noticeably did not say whether she would vote to repeal or defund Obamacare, despite being asked. Republican, this is a tough dance they have to do. She said, you know, at this point, I think we're past that. You think? I mean, honestly, it takes this long for them to at least go, oh, okay, we're not going to be able to repeal it.
Right.
Maybe and then she said some stuff about, oh, you know, maybe we should, you know, work to fix it. Right. That's what we've been saying since the beginning. That's what Jackie said. It was always designed to tweak it and make it better. Oh, good God. Meanwhile, why look at that headline? Conservatives proven utterly wrong on key aspect of Obamacare.
Yeah.
Why? Here's the thing. The mainstream media, they can cover whatever they want. So if they want to cover the latest Republican talking point horror story, they need to do a follow-up story going, oh, by the way, remember when we were doing all those stories? Those all turned out to be completely wrong.
False. Yeah.
For those of you that are keeping track. This piece over the weekend from HuffPost. Remember when Obamacare was a terrible deal for young adults? And I love Rush Limbaugh, who says he pays cash for his health care because he makes, what, $50 million a year? He's urging kids not to get health insurance so they can bankrupt themselves and their families because they don't happen to have a $50 million radio job. I mean, it's so irresponsible. Anyway. How young invincibles didn't even want health insurance. Conservatives groups acting no doubt out of deep concern for the well-being of the nation's 20-somethings. Even staged events where young people burned their Obamacare cards.
Yeah.
Remember those?
And yeah.
There is no such thing, by the way, as an Obamacare card.
No.
It's not
a
thing
so
that you can
they,
buy. It's
what
just,
did they
it's a
burn?
Law that,
oh, dear.
I don't know. They were props. The key part of this narrative was that young adults would shun Obamacare. That would then leave health insurance companies and taxpayers holding the bag when only old and sick people got covered. Remember all this?
Yeah,
remember?
Yeah.
Is it coming back now? Under the new program and run up huge medical bills leading to catastrophic death spirals. Remember the death spirals?
Yep.
Remember? They even had some scary graphics. Ooh, they look like tornadoes. Death spiral. that would destroy the private insurance market. What a terrifying nightmare. Instead, this happened. Look, the uninsured rate among 19 to 25-year-olds. Oh, that's going way
dropped.
Down. Oh, there's a graph
precipitously.
There. Not so scary after all. That's right. The share of the population between 19 and 25 without health insurance has fallen since the Affordable Care Act was passed in 2010. That year, the uninsured rate for that group was more than 30%. By the end of this March, it had fallen to 21%. In fact, the uninsured rate fell more for young adults than any other age group from the end of 2013 to the close of the first quarter this year. And that doesn't even account for the surge in Obamacare enrollments at the end of March and early April, especially among younger people for insurance coverage that didn't kick in until April or May. Turns out people under 30 think having health insurance is a good idea, too. So the retractions have all been right about that?
Hell no.
Young people won't get it. That's
no, they're continuing with the narrative.
Dogs and cats living together. Okay. All right. Just for the record. Hello. Anyone out there? Okay. 45 minutes after the hour, we roll along on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEPH-12.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12. The phone number, toll free from anywhere. I don't know how the betting pool is going, but Jim Ward has just confirmed.
Yeah.
For hour and free with Mondays with Maximum Mookage.
Yay!
So if you bet that he wasn't going to show, you are wrong. Well, we'll see.
Okay. the morning's still young.
All right. No, he missed last week. He had a looping job.
Yes.
A German looping job.
Yes.
Fact.
Jawohl.
Yes, but he was spectacular on the Happy Hour podcast along with Carlos Alazraki.
Yes.
This week on the Happy Hour podcast, May Lee, journalist whore May Lee, who gets really chatty when she has a little drink or two.
And then the week after, next week.
Yes.
Frangela.
Sweet! Okay.
On video, too.
Right.
This might be the first time they've been on video with us.
OMG. I think so.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Yeah.
Kevin in D.C., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Kevin.
Good morning, lovely Stephanie.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Great news that Frangela, the other two of our previous, what was it, four-way
we yes.
used to have, is going to be back on the show.
Yes, exactly.
I talked to her a couple of times on another show, and it was just not the same. I was calling to ask, I'm sure you've noticed, you ever notice the narrative on Sunday morning shows is always done from the perspective of, so, Obama/Democrats did something wrong, they discussed. For instance,
right.
You know, they never have the Republican one and say, you know, Republicans said that the health care law would be an absolute disaster, when in fact it's been an unqualified success by every objective measurement possible. So, how'd you all get it so wrong? When you do it that way, you put the person on the defensive immediately. Even if you're right, it still starts off the discussion in a certain way, and I see it. This was inspired. Have you seen? This was inspired by me by seeing Rube Pundit's latest thing. Did you see it? Where he it was basically that the Obama administration has been incredibly quietly competent.
Yes. Yes, I've mentioned it already this morning. I don't know where
several times.
Several times.
I just.
Oh my God!
Someone's
going
to need to be punished.
I'm sorry, baby. I just came on.
And I mentioned it Friday as well. But anyway, tell me, what did Rube Pundit say? Yeah, no, it's. I mean, he really wrote a great piece because, as you know, Rube Pundit is more critical of the president certainly than I am. But he wrote a really like reasoned piece. But you know, you go issue by issue, and I gotta say, I'm the same way. I just don't get it. If you go by any quantitative, I guess issue or you know, just the hard numbers, right? Deficit, whatever you're looking at, jobs numbers. You go, what? Why is this guy not getting, you know, the credit I think he deserves?
And I wouldn't mind the, you know, criticism if it was. I'm forced. Someone on Facebook, I wish I'd give them a credit, I'm blanking now, said that the reason that they steadfastly, you know, defend him on everything is because of this situation where everything he does is criticized and he's never given, on any sort of constant level, the credit he deserves. They feel they have to defend him step by step. We should have a normal, you know, criticism and praise, but you literally can't do that because he's in the so-called mainstream media, he's virtually never praised, and this is definable.
Yeah, I mean, Ruud Pundit lays it out. He goes issue by issue. He says, where do you want to start? Millions of people who have health insurance who didn't have it before. Unemployment rate is down below 6% from 10% in 2009. The deficit has shrunk to 3% of the GDP, down from 9.8% in 2009. If you're a rich puke, you become way, way richer. Corporate profits are up. Oil imports are down. Alternative energy sources are finally growing exponentially. The crime rate's at a 20-year low.
Yes.
How many states are we up to on same-sex marriage? How many terrorist attacks in the United States since Barack Obama's inauguration? I mean,
May I say something about Leon Panetta? That reminds me. Panetta, even him, he's allowed to say his stuff without any pushback.
Right.
For instance, he complained in the New York Times, you know, last year that Obama should not have asked Congress for authorization in bombing.
Right.
Now he says he should have asked. In the latest mission, the only person, there was a couple other things he flip-flopped on. The only person I've seen call him out on that was John Stewart, a freaking comedian, and Panetta had nothing to say. Why is a comedian being more effective than a so-called actual journalist?
Well, and if I have to hear this one more time, this he's too professorial rather than being a passionate leader. Oh, you mean he thinks things through instead of makes rash decisions from the gut like George W. Bush used to, right?
But there is something different between, you know, the decision-making process and the telling people about the decision that he has made.
Didn't we see his effective? But nothing shut people up when he took out Bin Laden.
Right.
The man incredibly was joking at that journalist dinner. That annual journalist dinner.
Right.
We had no idea he was joking and like nothing was going on. And the next day he's announcing he's taken out. That's how he is. You want him to publicly say everything? Haven't you?
Chris would have preferred a gangsta mic drop at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Just bam, I just shot him some Bin Laden in the eye. Bam, good night. That's what he wanted.
Exactly. I would think after 8 years of laying waste virtually any topic you can name, maybe the punditry isn't used to a deliberative, effective, like anyone who you have to take off.
Well, you know, the other thing is, I don't care what he seems like when you get results like this.
Krugman, excuse me. I got the
Paul Krugman.
Thank you. Paul Krugman,
yes.
That Rolling Stone article, Krugman has not been singing President Obama's praises by any measure.
Right.
And in that article, in an objective, you know, sentient, succinct way, he completely defends him. If anyone who calls Krugman Obama hasn't been hearing what he's been saying,
well, and Kevin,
Obama was elected.
Right, and we, you know, we make fun of it, but seriously, can they get a thesaurus? It's like, okay, feckless, he's won, he's leading from behind. Okay, if that means he hadn't gotten us into unnecessary wars, good. Okay. It's just some sort of weird, like, phrase for him that it's like, okay, and we can argue back with all of these accomplishments that he has and go, okay, what, so, okay.
You're in the
if that's feckless.
What do you think I'm being serious, what do you think it is, Stephanie, because I know what I think it is, but people will probably say I'm, you know.
Do you want me to whisper it?
Yeah.
It's because he's
When people behave in similar ways and one person is criticized and the other person is not and one happens to be of a...
In case you haven't noticed, he's black.
Exactly. I don't know what else to make of it. Again, I'm not saying the man walks on water. I have criticized him on your show.
Yeah.
And others when I thought it warranted, but when he does, against incredible opposition, does things right, it's like maybe a half a morning news cycle, and then it's never mentioned again.
Yep, exactly. I love you. By the way, my mom used to do that. Some people aren't racist. They're just, it was thought to be impolite to point out that someone was
black.
Yeah, I don't think my mom even whispered it. She just mouthed it.
I see.
You could see what she was saying. Okay, can I say, okay, let me read this real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Ruud Pundit, if you listen to the media mostly on the right, some on the left, at this point, the administration of President Barack Obama, we should be in road warrior-like hellscape of crushing debt, death panels sending us off to concentration camp ovens, calling it medicine, riots in the streets over the confiscation of guns, surveillance nano-drones entering our rectums in order to hear what our brains are thinking, undocumented Mexicans with Ebola or terrorist ties or huge caps, torturing cops along the border before suicide bombing our malls and infecting our babies, and Christians being whipped in their homes. themselves by mutilating Muslims who force them to kiss the Quran or face being beheaded, all while a Negro dictator and his transgender wife laugh with their Negro cabal. Rude pundit. Except that's not happening. Just saying. Right back with Eric Bollard on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Jim Ward has confirmed, everybody.
Yes. He will be here.
Live in studio Mondays with Maximum Mookage. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, we will post on our Facebook page the link to the article about Sean Hannity's workout, which is the gayest workout ever.
Yeah.
If there are any trainers listening, have you ever done a workout that includes submission? I swear to you, submission. Submission, grappling. I don't know what else.
Restraints.
He likes his trainer to come up to him from behind and grapple with him and something. I don't know.
Whatever.
And SciGuy tweeted, Sean Hannity's workout sounds like when Inspector Clouseau and has his manservant try to surprise attack him.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it's like.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing he's paying the guy a lot of money to act subdued and like he's so manly. Oh, Sean, oh, you're too strong. I can't. Oh, you put me down again. I swear to God, that's what it says.
I know.
He tries to put me down, and I grapple with him. Okay, read it. It's funny. Okay. Guess it was some great stuff on Fox News in there. Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America, doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollard.
Come on, baby.
Eric Bollard.
Let's dive into the right-wing world.
I don't know what that means.
Eric Bollard from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollard.
Good morning, Eric Bollard, sir.
Hey, good morning.
We were mentioning your piece earlier. With Fox News sitting out gay marriage fight, social conservatives lose their loudest voice. Homophobia is still common at Fox, but the marriage issue mostly ignored. Because you were sort of documenting a history that I don't feel like they've given up on it because it's the right thing to do. It's because it's a loser politically now, right?
Yeah. No, some people have changed their minds, including Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton. So, you know, I don't want to suggest anyone who has changed their mind about gay marriage in the last decade is...
Yes, we welcome your evolution, Sean Hannity.
But I think I'm a little more skeptical of the folks at Fox, mostly because the homophobia still runs rampant. I mean, they literally created, the hysteria over... You know, the Arizona law and these other sort of gay Jim Crow laws, and they were having on these, you know, victimized bakers and plumbers and everyone else who was being, you know, bullied by gay couples. So, I mean, Fox created that entire hysteria last winter.
Right,
so.
Being forced to do your job and not discriminate against people.
Right.
I know, it's
there
horrible.
You
yes. You're a baker, you have to bake a cake. It's awful. Yeah.
It's the worst, and get paid for it. So the suspicion arises at Fox when the homophobia is so common and at times rampant that they have basically just walked away from this issue. And we highlighted it in June when there was sort of a rash of court decisions, and obviously last week with the Supreme Court ruling, which opened now we're going to be up to 30 states soon, I think.
Right.
But it's not an issue. There was very little news coverage.
Right.
And there was virtually no commentary on the evening shows. And what's amazing, if you look at the polls, you know, that the pocket of people who still really are opposed to gay marriage are the people who watch Fox News, i.e., older conservative Americans. So,
right. Age crip keeper to dead, right? That,
exactly.
That's,
yeah.
They have that demographic locked up, right?
The 68 to 88 demographic that they love. but as has been written, you know, this issue in the last decade has sort of done this whipsaw, and it's now become this loser for Republicans. So my suspicion is this is purely, mostly, a political ploy to just say, hey, look, you know, this issue doesn't work for us politically. More importantly, it doesn't work for the Republican Party. You know, Fox News goes to work every day hoping to get the Republican control of the Senate. So they've, it looks like, certainly on the surface, they've just completely jettisoned one of their cornerstone beliefs because it doesn't suit the RNC anymore.
Yeah, yeah, well, just walked away from the fight. Oh, dear. But dear, poor, sad little Tony Perkins.
Right. And they don't host any of these people. I mean, you know, Mike Huckabee was making some crazy comments last week.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, he's a paid contributor, but, you know, no one invited him on their shows.
Right.
Last, you know, their evening shows last week to let him rant and rave. It's just, it's, you know.
Yes, he threatened to leave the Republican Party, and I think there was a massive, okay, bye.
So, yeah, I think it's another example of how, you know, Fox, first and foremost, is a political outlet, and it, first and foremost, it does most everything every day to further the concerns of the Republican political machine.
Let's go to some of your tweets, because, you know, we obviously, Fox News, we know what we're going to find, but the mainstream media always, it just never ceases to amaze. You tweeted, please tell me more about how it was Obama who failed to close Gitmo, hashtag GOP obstruction.
Yeah.
I just had this, you know, I was on Jesse Ventura's podcast last week, Eric.
Uh-huh.
I'm just so sick of this. Both sides do it. No, the president can close Gitmo. It's like, really? Like, he could he's already being called Hitler for whatever else he's doing by executive order. I mean, it's incredible, right?
Yeah, and that tweet was I linked to a piece Crooks and Liars had done, which was, you know, Pat Roberts, you know, campaigning, trying to save his political life in Kansas, saying, you know, if Obama tries to close Gitmo, I will block it. And when he did it in 2009, I stopped him from doing it. And again, you know, there's sort of this amnesia about, you know, what Republicans do in Washington, and it is basically to block everything Obama does.
Yeah.
And so we've seen a lot of the mainstream press sort of ignore that and sort of beat up Obama. It's even it gets particularly distressing, you know, when we see it on the left. You know, why won't Obama do X, Y, Z? And you're
right.
Like, okay, if he had a functioning Congress, if he had four good if he had four honest brokers across
right.
the aisle who would do anything for him, my guess is he'd probably do the X, Y, and Z things that liberals want him to do.
Yeah.
But you can't, you know, he doesn't have these Green Lantern powers.
Well, I think you're right. I mean, Eric, unless you're like you and I and you get in the weeds on this stuff, I think people really don't get it, that he just does not have the numbers, you know, because of this. And you can't use the word unprecedented enough in terms
no,
right. of obstructionism.
And I think the press has done an awful job, and they've
right.
just sort of glossed over this for years and years. And they say, well, working across the aisle is what people do, and why can't he figure out what Republicans want? They're not honest brokers. They're simply
right.
not honest
well,
brokers.
Do you know any people I know that actually are in the weeds like you and I are that didn't know we don't have a Surgeon General, which might be handy in the Ebola crisis?
Right.
Because, once again, they won't approve anybody because the president might want it.
Right.
Right.
And why have they blocked, refused to vote, filibustered the who blocks a Surgeon General? I mean, my God.
Right, and there's no, you're right, there's no.
Blocked. But the question is, why are they blocking him? Because the NRA doesn't want him, because he's the Surgeon General who says, who points out, oh, wait, 37,000 Americans die from gun violence every year?
Right.
That's a health issue. Our hospitals are drowning in billions and billions of dollars in gun violence medical costs. That's a medical issue.
Mm-hmm.
And Obama agrees. He says, that's the guy I want running, I want
right.
a Surgeon General, and the NRA says no, so the GOP says no.
Yeah.
And here we are with a you know, potential health crisis, and no Surgeon General.
And Eric, you know, the mainstream media will report on the Ebola hysteria 24/7.
Yeah.
But have you seen very much the head of the, you know, National Health Institute saying it's the budget cuts
yeah.
that are the reason we don't have an Ebola vaccine? And will the mainstream media at least be intellectually honest to go, it is because of Republicans we have these budget cuts?
No, because
yeah.
then you're being partisan. And
right.
you're being mean, and then you're sort of being...
You're not playing both sides do it.
You're
yeah.
picking a side. So, right, so John McCain went on, I think it was Space the Nation or whatever. He's on every show every Sunday. And he's now an expert on, you know, rare diseases from Africa.
Did you hear, we just played the soundbite. He said, we
yeah.
were told that Ebola would never come
right,
here.
Right.
Who said that?
By nobody.
Yeah.
And so he says, why don't we have a czar? Who's in charge? And it would have been nice if the host had said, oh, why are you blocking the Surgeon General? But,
right.
there's just a complete disconnect.
Yeah. Here's the other thing, 2016. I love this, how they, for some reason, the mainstream media is invested in sort of resurrecting people. You tweeted, new argument, Mitt Romney's a great manager if you ignore his colossally awful 2012 campaign.
Right.
You write, D.C. press spent all summer lauding the new Rick Perry. He's improved. He wears glasses, and he's polling at 2% in New Hampshire.
2%.
I mean, yeah.
Right. I we talked about this, you know, the great Rick Perry comeback. I mean, the Washington Post did this, you know, embarrassingly, you know, soft profile. Everyone got in line to go down to Austin because Rick Perry was standing up to Obama on the border, and he was inserting himself, and he was on the Sunday shows, and he has virtually no constituency anywhere in America in the Republican Party. He's at 2% in New Hampshire. He was the worst retail politician in the last campaign cycle,
and
so why does the press now think he's something that he's not? He's still the same. Like I said, he has no natural base.
That's why I love reading you, because I'll see this stuff and I'll be like, did something happen? What did Rick Perry do that suddenly? Yeah. He's, I don't understand why he's back. What or Mitt Romney? What?
Right.
Yeah.
And we read all, you know, these Rubio profiles and these Jindal profiles, and they're collectively, they're at like 4% of the, you know, Democratic fringe candidates. Where are all these huge O'Malley profiles? Where are all these?
And you always say they cannot wait to report another Hillary's doomed piece. And meanwhile,
right.
You look at her numbers in any poll anywhere, she's crushing all these guys.
Last summer, I mean, you know, Hillary Clinton, if you looked at her summer coverage, I mean, she was a clown car. She couldn't, you know, that shadow campaign she's running was a disaster. They're incompetent. Then you look at the Democratic poll. She's at 56%. Rick Perry's at 2%, but he's the one who had the great summer. He's the one who's on the rebound. He's the one who's doing everything right. And you're like, oh my God.
Yeah, I can't.
56. He's at 2.
I can't wait to see the shocked faces on Hillary landslide night. Who could see this coming?
But the larger point is the one you mentioned is, you know, they are completely invested, I don't think in a partisan way, but just creating something of an interesting storyline.
A couple more tweets, Eric, of yours that I loved. Meanwhile, I saw this practically nowhere. You tweeted, Governor Perry suffers humiliating court defeat regarding Texas voter ID law. D.C. press pays no attention.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a huge deal, and in Wisconsin as well, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, the voter ID law was really almost laughed out of court by this federal judge, and as well it should be in Wisconsin. And this is, you know, this is a cornerstone of one of Rick Perry's, you know, great achievements. And if that had any way been attached to Hillary or any other Democrat who wanted to run, but, you know, no, you know, this does not reflect poorly. There was actually a piece last week about how the Ebola crisis in Texas was going to be good news for Rick Perry.
Oh, my God.
Like, oh, my God. Is there nothing
wrong
that's good news for any Republican who wants to run for office?
And your final tweet I loved. Funny, Paul Ryan, Obama must be willing to work with GOP if they win the Senate. You mean the way the GOP worked with Obama for the last 6 years? Funny how that works.
You know, if they win the Senate, it's going to pivot overnight. And I guarantee you the Beltway press is going to be right there with the GOP, and it's going to be Obama, the obstructionist, and how dare he veto, and why won't he listen to this mandate? Yeah. It's going to drive us insane.
After all these years of seamless cooperation from the Republican Party, why won't he reach out?
Right, exactly.
Eric,
mark my word.
Yep, absolutely. And I do. And I do on a weekly basis. Thank you, Eric. Talk to you next week, sir. All right, there he goes. Bye-bye. Oh, he was long gone.
I didn't even hear him say bye-bye.
No, there was not even a Doppler effect there.
No.
Okay. 19 minutes after the hour.
I hope he's okay.
Rude Pundit, Jim Ward, much more as we roll along on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-1-2. Stephanie Miller.
She's crafty. She gets around. She's crafty. She's always down. She's crafty. She's got it cracked. She's crafty. And she's just my type. She's crafty.
It is the
You're so white.
Mm-hmm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Word 24
no.
minutes after the hour. Jim Ward coming up. Ruth Punnett coming up. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Bob in Arlington, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bob.
Hello, Steph.
Hello.
Have a fine morning.
Yes.
You know, one reason Obama gets so much hassle is because he governs like a Hawaiian. You know, he talks it out, works it out with the necessary people,
yep.
then gets the job done, and doesn't say anything about it, because once it's done, he shouldn't have to.
Right.
You know, especially about issues of Ohana, which is, you know,
family.
That means, you know, the domestic agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And in the Hawaiian ideal, Ohana eventually extends to every person on Earth.
Yeah, there you go. Mahalo. Thanks for your thoughts. I just like saying mahalo when Bob Seska's not here. Okay, Jim in Pennsylvania, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jim.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
Good. You know, I'm curious your thoughts on, maybe it's part of the Republican obstructionism is due to Obama's negotiating style. You know, like he seems
right.
to be detached.
Clearly it's his fault.
Even Harry Reid, his ally, says he's very detached and aloof. And if you're his opponent, that may be construed as arrogant.
Oh, I see. He's just not asking correctly.
Could be.
I see.
But I don't know if he's getting enough of the blame in that.
Ah.
Like, it's easy to blame the GOP. You know, they're just obstructionists. But
right.
if I remember correctly, George Bush was called Satan and Hitler many a time, and he still got things done. Not things that you may have liked, but at least he progressed.
I don't believe he was called that by members of Congress.
No.
Well, you know, the general media and things like that. I don't think he was liked by Democrats.
Yeah, by the likes of Mark Levin.
Well,
Mark Levin holds no weight.
I understand that, but I don't think he was liked by Congress. Like, I don't think Democrats really liked Bush. I think
right, but the point is they were nowhere near provably as obstructionist as this Republican Congress is with Bush. That's the difference. It doesn't matter.
I think that goes.
It's because he's asking wrong.
Style.
Okay.
You know?
All right.
That's just my opinion.
I'd like
your opinion on it.
All right. Well, my opinion is your opinion is dumb. Oh, I'm sorry. It's Monday and I'm cranky. I'm so sorry.
You're okay.
Really? Really? The president's not asking right.
Oh my God.
Okay. Oh, I was talking to Eric about. I'm sorry. That was rude.
Oh.
Okay, my opinion is your opinion's wrong. Sorry.
We're all entitled to that.
Okay. This is a big deal, and I've seen this reported, you know, really, like, it's no big deal. This mm-hmm. is actually a big deal. Court blocks voter ID laws in Texas and Wisconsin. A federal judge, this is last week, obviously, ruled that voter ID laws are like poll taxes meant to suppress minorities and struck down the Texas law only hours before the Supreme Court blocked voter ID in Wisconsin. The twin rulings represent major and somewhat surprising blows to largely Republican-backed voter identification rules sweeping the nation that have generally been upheld in previous rulings. Approved in 2011, the Texas law is considered among the nation's harshest and has even been derided in court by the Justice Department as blatant discrimination. Wisconsin's law passed the same year remained a similar political flashpoint. Huge, huge, mm-hmm. huge, as Donald Trump agreed. Huge victories.
Huge.
Not both sides do it. It is meant to suppress minority vote, period.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Glad about that.
Oh, look, why, here it is. Federal budget deficit just keeps getting smaller. Oh, why, look at that. It's a helpful graph.
That's pretty impressive. Pretty damn impressive.
It fell. See, this is the problem, is we let them set the narrative like this is some big problem. It fell sharply in 2014. It's fifth consecutive annual decline. That's according to an estimate by the Congressional Budget Office. The deficit for fiscal year 2014, which ended on September 30th, will come in at roughly $486 billion. That's $195 billion less than a year earlier. And as a share of the economy, the deficit dropped to 2.8% of the GDP from 4.1% last year. Thank you, Mr. President. Anybody? Why, thank you. Thanks for that. While also the unemployment rate falling to under 6% from 10% when you took office. Thank you, sir. Thanks, sir. Thanks.
Hey.
29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
evening, I'm
Stephanie Miller.
I have enormous psychological problems, and I'm going to take them out on you.
Yep, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Rude Punda coming up. Voice DD Jim Ward.
Yes.
Yes, Mondays with Maximum Mookage. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Sue in Rockville. Why, hello.
Hi, Sue.
Hey there, guys. Happy Monday. And let me just say before what I called about. The happy hour was so darn funny. It was hilariously great.
Each
week you guys just get better and funnier.
Or weirder, but thank you very much.
Yeah, we veer off into some weird territories.
But more women. So I'm delighted that Maylee is coming on. I'm glad, Frangela. You guys are just absolutely ganging up on my gal, Steph, and that is not okay.
Oh, we are?
That's what it is. It's like a drunken slugfest where everybody hits me.
That is not true. You know what, though? We are lousy with women coming up, though.
Well, Steph, I was going to say, if you're ever desperate, I'll do a call-in or fly to L.A.
All right.
I don't have much estrogen left, but whatever I have.
All right. All right. You bring whatever you got.
Anyway, listen, this issue of style versus substance actually drives me completely crazy.
Me too.
Because I can quote the president and say something like, you know, what his statement was about taking out ISIL, how he's going to take out the targets. We're going to train and equip opposition fighters. We're going to go against them. We're going to cut off their financing. We're going to counter their hateful ideology, stop the flow of fighters. And I can say it Obama's way.
Right.
Which is calm and deliberate and making statements and then going ahead and doing it. Or I can say it like Grumpy McCain, you know, and get all bombastic. But at the end of the day, what matters is what you do. And every single time the president says, this is what we're going to do, they do it.
And by the way, maybe I still have Bush fatigue, so to speak. But I hated his policies and the way he said it.
He's not a smart man.
Right. Right.
The president is a very smart man.
I mean, to hear him talk about his mangled policies and that mangled syntax.
It was an embarrassment.
If
you believe, as an educator, a former educator, if you believe education is the key and knowledge is power, to have a president who was that dumb was really just really, it was very hard to say, do your homework, one day you could be president, and then they all point to him.
Don't you think, right. Don't you think there were the more face plants during the Bush administration than any other time when you're like, oh, God, are people around the world hearing this?
There's an old saying in Tennessee. I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once. Shame on.
But if you notice, a lot of times with the comedians,
they
go back to Clinton and they go back to Bush because, you know, in many ways, Obama's not funny. He hasn't done things that are funny.
Yeah, he's got a dry sense of humor. It's not like an outwardly funny sense of humor.
My best flashback is Will Ferrell playing President Bush, and he's just at one point, he's like laying on the floor like hitting a ball of yarn. Lord. All right. Sue, thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Oh, yet another love letter, by the way, in addition to Sue's about the Happy Hour podcast. Jody, Steph, I seriously could care less if you read this on the show, but I have to tell you, the Happy Hour podcast is freaking fantastically awesome.
Wow.
I drink on Friday nights anyway after a long week. Boy, howdy.
Who doesn't?
But now I feel like I'm sitting at the bar with the people who make me laugh the most and having a good time doing it. Damn, girl. Keep going. Love, Jody. You're welcome. Go to StephanieMiller.com. You go on to sign up for the StepCast.
Yep, go to the StepCast section, and you'll see a whole menu of options.
You can get audio or video or both, which is kind of magical, because you could listen while you're, you know, working out, walking.
Yeah. Someone tweeted a picture of them on, it was either a stair stepper or a treadmill or something, watching the video cast on their iPad that was set up right on the treadmill.
Oh, my God.
Treadmill.
What will the kids think of next?
I know.
All right, let's balance it with a hate letter, shall we?
And then someone answered that tweet saying, ooh, Stephanie's not wearing a hat.
No, I tart it up.
Yeah.
You and I are having a tart off every week because you're wearing smaller and smaller shirts.
No, that's because I come in from the gym usually.
All right, yes, and I tart it up.
Yes.
Okay, I'm wearing cocktail attire.
You are.
Wynn in America, spelled with a K. I'm not really sure why, but yes, with a hate letter. The other day, there's never any salutation.
No.
Can you at least just say, hey, whore, something? The other day, I sent a brief note stating that Stephanie was worse than racist. The anecdote for this Friday about twitting, I think he means tweeting.
Okay.
I think he's twitting. I tweet.
Bless his heart.
About something offensive to this Asian guest. Oh, my dear friend Mei Li.
Yes.
Confirms how this white privilege woman could express vile things to an Asian American woman. Okay, I didn't tweet it. I retweeted something that I didn't realize she didn't think was funny. Anyway, yeah. Whatever. We worked it out. We hugged it out, bitch.
Mm-hmm.
One would think that Stephanie has a keen sensitivity to others, seeing that she campaigns for queer issues.
Oh, dear.
I guess a queer issue would mean, like, you know, gay people should have the same rights as everybody else. And stuff yeah. like that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there I go again with the queer issues. I've always maintained that Stephanie is a racist deep. Ooh, I'm a racist deep.
Hey.
By the way, she's okay with bombing Syria and ISIS. Okie dokie, win in America. All right, win. Thanks for your talk. I'm racist because of...
Sure.
I'm... All right. Okay. I think Mei Li, journalist whore Mei Li, will confirm that I'm not racist when she comes in Friday, but okay. We had a teachable moment Friday with Mei Li.
We did.
Because what it was is somebody was tweeting height jokes about her, and because we're so comfortable and friends, she was saying it hurts her feelings because she can't change her height or her race, and she's gotten made fun of for that.
Mm-hmm.
So I have officially, I will stop calling her information, which I used to call her because she is 4'11". I used to call her information, which makes her laugh. But I will stop now. Tom and Albert,
you're terrible.
Hello, Tom in Albuquerque.
Yeah, the gentleman is talking about the president's lack of willingness to negotiate. He seems to be forgetting the hundreds of filibusters by the Senate in the first 2 years of the president's presidency when all of those bills came out of the House because of Nancy Pelosi's expert leadership, but they died in the Senate.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. No, that's what I mean. You know, you can, I mean... Do a rudimentary Google search on number of filibusters, and you'll see that it's not even a opinion question.
Right.
All right. What were we talking? Oh, by the way, will the president get any credit from this? Putin orders troops away from the Ukraine border. Isn't that President Obama being outmanlying Putin? Or are they still in full fox swoon over how manly Putin is?
They probably are. Uh-huh. But you know what? Putin's kind of gone back and forth on this. He orders them away, then they come back.
Know, whatever.
Then he orders them away, and so this is just, I think, one of the orders away.
Just maybe. Or maybe the president is... It's quien más macho? President Obama. I think Putin's being like Stewart. I'm just saying that because we just had Michael McDonald on.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so I mentioned earlier... big gay news. Federal judge in North Carolina struck down the state's same-sex marriage ban Friday, opening the way for the first same-sex marriages in the state to begin immediately.
Yep.
Loved his ruling. The judge said North Carolina's laws prohibiting same-sex marriage are unconstitutional as a matter of law.
Mm-hmm.
The issue before this court is neither a political issue or a moral issue. It is a legal issue.
That's right.
Thank you.
There you go. On those queer issues again.
There I go, going off again. Queer issues. let's see. The county registrar said it's a historical day for the state of North Carolina. It's autumn in Asheville, and it's a beautiful time to get married. It is beautiful in Asheville. Oh, my God.
And just overnight, don't forget about Alaska.
And Alaska as well.
Yes, yes.
Alaska.
They had the very first ban on gay marriages in America.
Yeah.
And, you know, the state says they're going to appeal the decision, but the chances of winning it in the Ninth Circuit Court are slim considering previous rulings in Idaho and Nevada.
Right. Right, right, right.
So, yay.
A decision to fly a rainbow flag symbolizing gay pride over the Asheville, North Carolina City Hall has drawn criticism from two local GOP functionaries.
A functionary?
What is a GOP functionary? Because I feel like a lot of GOPers have no function, but... comparing it to something that Adolf Hitler would have done. Oh, and right to the Hitler reference.
Godwin's
former
law.
City Councilman Carl Mumpower.
Is that who you are? What you do?
Who's apparently a functionary of some sort.
Okay.
Said, I am equating their methods with the Nazi movement. They are indifferent to the rule of law and indifferent to the vote of the people. And that's Adolf Hitler all over again in a different disguise.
Computer says no.
No, when marriage equality comes to, and they fly the gay pride. That's not anything at all like Hitler, who killed people that were gay and made them wear pink triangles and stuff like that. But that's not important now.
What does he mean indifferent from the law? This ruling came down from a court, which is an instrument of the law.
No, he was talking about the decision to fly the rainbow flag.
Right.
Which was exactly like Adolf Hitler.
Right.
Okay.
And he said it goes against the rule of law.
I don't know what the functionary meant. It serves
right.
no function for me to even spend any more time on it. Tony Perkins,
oh.
no brother, mother, blood, no. Okay, from the Family Research Council on the, oh, they had a little debate on the Fox News?
Yeah, on Fox News Sunday with Chris Wallace.
You still have two circuits that have decisions coming up that look favorable toward natural marriage. But I think the effect here is what you need to look
natural.
At. I think the effect of this natural is the
marriage.
Court did a back alley type Roe v. Wade judicial decision by
what?
Letting the lower courts do their evil bidding. And the result of that is such, you go back to 1973 when the court imposed abortion on the nation. It was to resolve the issue. 41 years later, that issue is now a political issue in every election from president on down.
A
back alley Roe v. Wade decision?
Oh, and also it's evil? It's evil to let people marry the person that they love.
That would be evil.
Now, oh, I'm sorry. Is that a new one? Natural marriage?
Natural marriage. That's their euphemism as of late.
Because let me just tell you, half the straight stack we do, wow,
that's
not natural
in
at
any
all.
Way, shape, or form.
Yeah. Oh, he means like the people that, like the guy that was, you know, the girl on top of the electrical box at the villages.
At the villages in Florida.
Right.
Yeah.
That kind of natural.
Sure.
Marriage. Okay. The honorary lesbian of the Stephanie Miller Show, Ted Olson, also on Fox News Sunday.
Yeah, I think the analogy would be to the 1967 decision of the United States Supreme Court that struck down bans on interracial marriage. We now understand, and the American public believes, that that was a right decision and that's right for America. Over 59% of Americans now believe that marriage equality should be the law of the land. Individuals should be allowed to get married to the person that they love. The individuals involved in these cases have been together for decades. They now want to be a part of the community and to be part of our society by marrying and living with the people that they love.
Yeah, I love how he schooled Tony Perkins there on how this isn't a Roe v. Wade decision. This is a Virginia versus Loving decision.
Yeah.
Or Loving
Best
versus
not be
Virginia.
Talking law with Ted Olson.
Exactly.
Yes, you know.
Yeah.
By the way, that man is smart and he has very, very soft lips. I know,
because you kissed him.
I have kissed him a couple of times.
With his wife in the vicinity.
Also, it has the benefit of everything that comes out of them is right, regarding marriage equality anyway.
How were his wife's lips?
I didn't go there. Okay. 46 minutes.
You could have made her the honorary lesbian of the Stephanie Miller Show.
No, he is.
Okay.
46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
I am both freaking and faking it.
What? You're not here yet.
Oh. You're not here yet.
You're never here this early.
Yeah, there's something. A wormhole is open in the universe from the valley.
Actually, it was fog in the valley, and everyone was going 2 miles an hour, so I had to leave early.
All right. Oh, look who's here. Now you're fully here. Okay.
Hi, Jim.
Hi, Jim.
You were spectacular on this weekend's Happy Hour podcast.
Thank you.
The reviews are rolling in. I waited at Sardi's all night, and you and Carlos Alzraki together, every layer of wrong that there is. There's something weird.
Well, I was delirious because I was doing like two jobs like every day for 2 weeks in a row.
Yes. Tell what you were doing.
I have been dubbing Jeffrey Tambor into German on Transparent,
the new Amazon series.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yes. And I was also doing a computer game wherein I was speaking some words in Czech. So
Czech, please.
Czech, please.
No, not
that. You see. What?
How do you say taxi?
Slovak, please.
All right. Wow, you know, because this has become a theme of the Happy Hour podcast, and that is like stack, meaning penis stack. I don't.
Oh, not again.
Well, this is different.
The you say that about every story.
And just stories about things that men will put in their...
In?
Because
what?
They, well, last time it was ball bearings. It was ball bearings.
What? Pipe cleaners? What?
No. Man shoved steel rod up his,
sure.
in his...
Maybe he was having...
Good Lord. The rod up that man's...
Penis.
impotent
Maybe
man.
He ran out of Viagra and decided some metal might help.
Impotent man who inserted a steel rod into penis almost dies after it shoots backward into his bladder.
Ah! Ah!
He's fine. He's fine now.
Who could have seen that coming?
Jim Louise Ward.
Ah, man who tried to improve his sex life by sticking
That's
a steel
not gonna do it.
Rod.
No.
Yes. He told medics he felt this was the reason he was struggling to find and keep a girlfriend. Or maybe because he's the kind of guy that would shove a rod into his penis and think it's a good idea. Maybe that. Maybe it was his decision-making skills that resulted in the lack of a girlfriend.
No? Yikes. So did they remove it?
Yes. He's fine.
He's fine? Okay.
He's fine now.
He doesn't have a hole in his bladder or anything?
Right. Okay. The last story with the ball bearings, that was he said a buddy told him at a bar.
Yeah, some buddy.
Dude, seriously, you
know
what?
You got ball bearings in a bar in your wiener.
Oh, by the way, this is anyway, return of Kim Jong-un on the Happy Hour podcast. Reason alone to get the Happy Hour podcast because people still have not spotted him. He apparently has gotten so fat that he keeps shattering his little bird-like ankles.
They did a sketch about that on Saturday Night Live.
Did they?
Yes.
We beat them to it Friday on the Happy Hour podcast.
I know.
Yeah, he's because he wears like the platform shoes. Mm-hmm. And he's apparently gotten a little.
Make me look taller.
His diet made his bones a little brittle.
Right, exactly. He's just apparently just left and right shattering ankles. They asked Susan Rice on Meet the Press yesterday. Are you confident that Kim Jong Un is still in control in North Korea? Because
what,
no one
has
seen
say?
Him. Well, she said, "Who knows?" Because he's a fatty two by four.
He did not. She did not say fatty
two
by four.
The DMZ door. Okay, I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah, you're paraphrasing, of course. Yes.
They have no information at this time as to whether he's...
Maybe he's been replaced with Scott Evil. By the way, who I saw at Ralph's a couple of weeks ago.
Really?
No way,
Seth
Scott
Green.
At the grocery
Seth
store?
Green.
Seth Green with his tall, blonde, beautiful girlfriend.
Oh, well, hello now. Okay.
And he's about this tall. Yeah.
All right. I'm just saying, if it's something has, because there's been all kinds of things, that there's been a coup, that he's been assassinated, and I'm not
or
saying...
Or that he just has gout.
Right. Which is from a rich diet, which causes your little bird-like
rich
ankles to shatter.
Diet.
I bet you a lot of people are face-planning over that.
Face-palming. By the way...
Shattered his little ankles again.
By the way, we got a letter.
Oh.
My baby just wrote me a letter.
Dear Chris, I know you have no problem correcting Steph on many things. Would you mind letting her know that she means face-palm, not face-plant? When talking about reacting to someone else's stupidity.
Okay.
Signed, Matt.
Sometimes things George W. Bush said I did face-plant. Because I was already, drunk. Right.
Sounds like you have an azalea bush growing out of your forehead.
All right, so I don't know if this is Kim Jong-un. No one knows where he is or if he was assassinated, but a large body was blamed after a crematorium fire. They blamed a 500-pound body that caused the furnace to overheat.
Yikes.
Fatty 2x4 that couldn't fit in the furnace door.
Well, he fit in the furnace door.
Well,
made it explode.
Yeah. There was explosion.
It was a big explosion.
Have you ever seen that urn of, the ashes are spilling out onto the mantle, and it says, even in death, Ethel couldn't reach her goal weight?
Yeah.
Fire investigators said the rather large body... caused the rubber roofing near the furnace to catch fire.
Rubber roofing.
Why do they have rubber
furnace?
Roofing near a furnace?
I don't know.
It's a very bad planning.
The operations manager said the man was a little larger than what we had done in the past. Nobody was injured in the blaze, which was deemed an accident.
Except the corpse, which was injured. Yes.
Well, I think the corpse expired by other means. is beyond
caring.
Well,
if it didn't, now it's...
Now there should be an investigation.
Yes. And now, a story about a bear. Why do I... Why? Just because I want... Did you see the bear in the car? The bear stuck in the car honking the horn?
I missed that.
A couple in Colorado woke up, the sound of their car horn at 3 o'clock, and there's a bear in their car.
Hey, where's the picnic basket?
Your Uber's here. Thinking someone was trying to steal it, a hungry black bear, they left food in there.
Sure.
After getting the doggy bag, the bear couldn't get out, ripped apart the sedan's interior. He looks frantic in the car. It looks like he wants to drive away, although he's in the passenger seat. Stupid bear.
Stupid bear. He thought he was in England. Stupid bear.
Stupid.
Look at him, Matt.
Dumb. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Aw, Daddy's home reading a paper. Everything's back to normal.
Hooray.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Maximum.
Say, Lucas. Where's my pipe?
Maximum Lucas Monday. I know, I feel like I need to get you a silk robe of some sort. And your slippers. Jim Ward, fresh from his triumph from the Happy Hour podcast, is past.
Yes.
Weekend with Carlos Ellis, Rocky. Check it out, because I don't even know what to say. It was so
I
weird.
I don't remember anything that I said.
I don't either, really. It was it was weird.
Fugue state. Oh, by the way, happy Columbus Day.
Thank you.
And remember, Christopher Columbus discovered the New World, much like a meteorite discovered the dinosaurs.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you for that, Chris. Hey, thank you very much. Yeah. It is the newly shorn Chris LaVoie.
Yes.
There's a lot less of him. I was saying it was like someone chucked an Etch-a-Sketch and something.
No,
like
one of those woolly things, you know, where you take the wand and you draw a beard on on the face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something happened.
You erased it.
I did. I got shook.
All right, but enough about your weekend. Yeah. Okay. Hey, speaking of getting shook, please take your organ out. An earthquake. A new Vatican document suggests embracing gifts and qualities of gay people.
What?
What?
Gay people don't have gifts.
What? A new Vatican document, an attempt
gay
by
Pope... Gay people don't have qualities?
An attempt by Pope Frank to be more welcoming of gay people, suggesting they have gifts and qualities to offer.
Huh.
What?
Only gifts from Barney's.
At the direction of Pope Francis, the Vatican has released a document that says gay people have gifts and qualities to offer and even praises same-sex relationships for being a precious support in the life of the partners.
And koalas have gaieties.
It is being called a dramatic shift in tone in news reports and an earthquake in tone by Vatican experts.
Oh, all right.
Go Pope Frank. In other news, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so noted... Okay, former homophobe, Sean Hannity. Just saying.
Former.
I mean, apparently he's evolved. Which
I'm cured, praise God.
It's not okay for the president to do, but, you know, just saying. Anyway, so in the LA Times on Saturday, I don't know if you saw this, Sean Hannity proves he's a do and diet kind of guy.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Sean Hannity does the gayest workout in the history of workouts ever. That's him and his trainer. Hit me.
From his dojo.
Right. Okay, can I?
No.
He does look...
The pads.
Right. Okay, but let me... Because I know you do some stuff like this, but trust me. Yours is a manly straight guy workout. This is the gayest workout ever. So he's lost 27 pounds. Good for him. Over the last...
Good
I think because you frequently called him a tub of goo on the show.
Am I the only... No, you've met him. I've met him. He's doughy.
Okay, well, not anymore. And good for him. Good on him. However, would you like to hear what his workout entails, Jim?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I do, they ask him, what about exercise? He says, I do 3 or 4 days a week, an eclectic mix of styles, kickboxing, Japanese jiu-jitsu.
Jiu-jitsu.
Mm-hmm. Submission. What now?
What?
Submission.
Hmm.
Submission. Grappling. Filipino martial arts, blade, and firearms training. My instructor, who has multiple black belts and trains military and law enforcement people. Grr. Calls it street martial arts, It's 1 hour of nonstop competitive intensity. At the end, I can barely keep my arms up. Many days, I'm black and blue. Okay, does this not sound like whatever goes on in Bill O'Reilly and Geraldo's sex dungeon?
Yeah.
Submission? Grappling?
It sounds like he wandered into the sex dungeon and liked what he saw.
Right, and got some tips.
Yeah.
Ooh, let me write that down.
Ooh.
All right, safe word, Ms. Roth. Okay, what else?
Oh, what's going on down?
And besides giving me more energy, confidence, and strength, I really like the self-defense aspect. My trainer will attack me, try to put me down, and I'll grapple and throw him.
Like Inspector Clouseau's henchman.
Oh, my God.
Right, that he wants him to, he always wants them to surprise him and attack him.
To sneak up on him and attack him. Yeah.
Kato. He's trying to be Kato.
Yeah.
I asked a professional trainer, have you ever heard of this? What workout is that?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
attack me, try to put me down, I'll grapple and throw him. Take any scenario, come up to me from behind, put me in a chokehold.
That does sound pretty gay.
Seriously, if you called a trainer, you want what now? Put a gun to my head, threaten me with a knife, and I'll know how to get out of it. No, you won't. Your stupid bodyguard
will. It's a rubber gun and a rubber knife.
And you're paying him to let you subdue him. You make it sound like you've had threats. Yes, I've had threats. I've carried a firearm most of my adult life. I've always tried to avoid confrontation. Oh, yeah, that's what your show's all about.
Uh-huh.
But I've been confronted by people who don't like me. What could it be? Look, for 3 hours on radio and 1 hour on TV, I'm giving strong political opinions. Strong douchey. Douchey.
You're also strong douchey, political nasty opinions? Hitler.
But it's nice to know if something happens, I can handle myself. You can't. Your bodyguards can.
Oh, he's handling himself. He's probably handling himself right now.
He's probably paying a trainer a fortune to, like, Sean, you subdued me again. And then how much you want to tell? He deals with, like, a real person on the street. He's like, what? You're not letting me win. I don't understand.
Wait, no, that's not how you do it. No. How? No, you have to let me do this first.
Let's see how you can handle yourself when it's not a trainer that you're paying.
Yeah.
It's the gayest workout I've ever heard. Submission. I don't know. Google that. Is that a workout?
Submission wrestling. That's a thing. Yeah.
Really gay thing. Okay. I'm just saying.
I'd like
grappling. Just grab me from behind. Just sneak up behind.
I'd like you to say that to some people who partake in submission wrestling. See if you like their answer.
Boom!
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Ow! I wasn't ready. Ow!
I imagine anyone will let you subdue them if you pay them enough.
Right. Well, in some circles, that's called prostitution.
The trainer's probably like Stuart. He's just, Sean, you're so brave. Okay. Anyway, in other news, where should we go? ISIS, Ebola. It's all happy clappy these days. All right, let's go to ISIS. Chuck Hagel, Defense Secretary. Here he is.
Iraqi security forces are in full control.
Wait a minute. Why is there game music on
Chuck Hagel? Because I was still running. Came up on that FIAS. Okay, here we go. Iraqi security forces are in full control of Baghdad, continue to strengthen their positions in Baghdad. We continue to help them with airstrikes, with our assistance and our advisors, which I have, at the direction of President Obama, added to our numbers there.
Advisors, that sounds so familiar. We had those in Vietnam.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Senator Bernie Sanders on all this.
ISIS is a brutal, awful, dangerous army, and they have got to be defeated. But, Candy, this is not just an American problem. This is an international crisis. This is a regional crisis. And I think the people of America are getting sick and tired of the world and the region, Saudi Arabia and the other countries, saying, hey, we don't have to do anything about it. The American taxpayer and American soldiers will do all the work for us.
Yes, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
I love him.
Who is it? Yeah, we were talking about Friday, the president of Turkey. Something's got to be done here. There's got to be some boots on the ours? No.
No, not ours.
We're doing exercises and things. We're
working out with John Hannity.
We're grappling with John Hannity. We can't go to the border.
Although
he's paying us a lot of money to subdue him.
Although Turkey did announce yesterday that they will let U.S. and coalition forces use its bases, including a key installation within 100 miles of the Syrian border for operations against ISIS.
Oh, well, isn't that nice?
I'm just saying.
I'm sorry. I wouldn't talk to the president. See, that's why I couldn't be president, because that's how I talk to the president of Turkey. I'd be like,
they're moving in the right direction.
And then they'll be a big help.
Turkey?
See, I'm not known for my diplomacy.
No, you're not. And that's why you'll never, ever be president, among many other things.
You know what? We would have sent troops until you said it that snotty. You know what I would say? And you didn't say that snotty. That's what I would say.
I had turkey in my sandwich.
All right, you know where it's a real crisis?
What?
At the set of Archer, starring our good friend Aisha Tyler.
That's right.
At FX. They had to change the name of the spy agency because it's called ISIS. The spy agency.
They changed it to Boogity Boogity Cheese.
They're actually just not going to call it anything.
It's just the Department of nothing.
Well, yeah.
The Department of None of Your Beeswax.
Well, it's a clandestine organization anyway, so.
The creators
of don't tell anyone it's a clandestine organization.
Don't tell anybody what?
Don't tell anyone it's a clandestine
organization.
It's not even authorized by the U.S. government, and that's why it's funny.
Okay.
It's funny because Aisha Tyler's in it.
Yeah, I love how the right wing pretended they didn't understand what a covert operation was when Valerie Plame was in the news.
Yeah.
You moron. It's their cover story, you moron. She's handing people a card going, hi.
Hi, I'm the CIA.
I'm a covert CIA agent.
I work for a greeting card company.
And it's headed up by Jessica Walter, so you can't get better than that.
Right. Okay, so the creators of the animated comedy series Archer announced this weekend they're dropping ISIS. This is the name of the show's spy agency. The creator, Adam Reed, said, that part was easy, but now there's a pile of ISIS-branded Archer merchandise.
FX is not happy about that.
Once you bought the swag...
Yeah, you can't return it.
Trust me, how many hats do you have out there from current TV?
Maybe they should change it to Oasis, but then Noel Gallagher would have something to say about that.
You're still using your old Stephanie Miller late-night talk show mugs.
They were a little more optimistic. I mean, that ended in 1995, and I still got stationery from that. I think they planned on
you.
Order.
They planned on you writing a lot of letters, did they? A lot of memos?
Letters of apology. Anyway, the creator said, I gave my dad one of the ISIS hats, and he said, you know, son, I'm not going to be able to wear the hat anymore. He said in his southern accent, I'm getting looks at the hardware store. ISIS swag. I'll take it. I'll put it in my warehouse of, you know.
And give it to people that come. Here, have something from another show entirely.
We're out of talking liberally hats.
We'll
here's
just go hide it with the copies of Mein Kampf.
All right, 17 minutes after the hour, we roll along. Maximum Mookage Mondays on The Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your human Prozac. It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
There goes the narwhal. It is the Stephanie Miller.
Narwhal.
Right.
Narwhal.
Right. What is that anyway?
It's a sea mammal.
It's of some sort. Sea mammal with a horn.
Yeah.
Its nose.
Awesome. Thank you for that.
So there you go.
Okay. Good.
Much like the Nautilus.
Thank you.
With James Mason as Captain Nemo.
I love your James Mason.
I'm sorry, Jerry. You must have bought up with it written.
Bob says, what a perfect way to enjoy my work holiday celebrating a European murderer that stumbled across islands off our continent. The supreme sanity of Jim Ward. True. Happy Columbus Day, everybody.
Did you see that the city of Seattle changed it to Indigenous Peoples Day? Well, Seattle is named after a Native American chief.
Right.
The city itself. So, you know, it's... It's suitable.
Fabulous.
You can just grow me Space Needle.
Don in Alabama, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Don.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I just, let me say this before I say anything else. I am an ordained minister. Mm-hmm. I went to school to be an ordained minister. I have been a minister for over 19 years. my question is, why is there still a debate over same-sex marriage? What do that have to do with my religion?
Yeah, well, that's what I, you know, I thought, Don, I don't know if you heard earlier, I was quoting the judge, I think it was in North Carolina, but I thought he said it perfectly. He said, we are not debating a political or a moral issue. This is a legal issue, period.
That's right.
It's about equal rights.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I understand this being a legal issue, but morally, why would I want to stop you or Chris or anyone else from getting married and you not trying to stop me?
Right, my repulsive personality can do that much better than you ever could.
But if you realize that I was from Montgomery, you heard
about the
minister down here, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, he was not gay, right?
Who's this?
It was a minister down here in Montgomery.
That's right.
That just announced to his congregation that he has AIDS.
Right, and he was sleeping with his parishioners.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Exactly. And guess what? He refused to step down.
That's right.
Why doesn't the church have a problem with that?
Yeah, yeah.
That's much more of a moral argument than you know, marriage equality.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Guys, I love you guys.
Love you.
I listen to you every day. People don't like me listening to you, but I listen to you anyway.
Oh. Well, that's another reason to do it, just to piss people off.
I love
you. All right. I love you in a gay and a non-gay way.
Aww.
All right.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Okay. All right. Oh, speaking of which, please take your organ out. God TV is in a shambles. Oh, no.
There's a God TV?
Apparently.
Oh.
Tommy sent this. Now you're not the only one to kill off a TV network. Whew. Okay.
Haven't you killed off two of them?
Yes.
Just saying. What? What?
The WB? Is that you?
No. I bet you Al Gore called Oprah. Why didn't you warn me?
Well, you know, Oxygen still exists.
Right, so I didn't technically kill it.
You just killed that incarnation of it.
If Al Jazeera dies too, then I'm like, somehow I just have some sort of like contact.
Tangential
effect.
Thing.
Right.
Yeah.
God TV, in shambles after founder leaves his wife for his mistress.
And moves to France.
And abandons the network.
Yeah.
God TV, one of the biggest Christian television networks in the world, is in complete disarray after its founder left his wife to move to South Africa with his girlfriend.
She needs South Africa. Okay.
Milady, I can't stay, Milady.
According to Wendy Alec. Hi, I'm Wendy Alec.
Please and thank you.
Her husband, Rory.
Rory.
Rory. Rory.
Why?
Was seduced by a Jezebel jazz musician. Oh, you know those Jezebel jazz
Jezebel
musicians.
Jazz.
They are
yeah,
all
too much
sluts.
Jazz and liquor, rouging your knees.
Too much hooch.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's too much jazz and liquor.
Uh-huh.
Right? Sally Bowles tried to warn us.
Absolutely.
and begun having an affair.
She's going to rouge her knees and wear her stockings down.
Screw Maximilian.
Citing Satan. Wendy. Claim that the woman stole her husband for ungodly reasons, and the two have fled Israel, where God TV is based. They just raptured themselves, perhaps.
Apparently.
Wow.
To live on a farm in South Africa. I had a farm in Africa once. I was doing the Meryl Streep line from Out of Africa.
Mm-hmm.
I had a farm in Africa once.
That looked dreadfully boring, so I never
even
got around to
watch
it.
Well, nobody got that, I think, in the world. I think someone did. Someone appreciated that Meryl
Streep.
That was
actually a date movie with my first wife.
Oh, I remember her.
Oh, dear. I bet you hope a dingo ate your first wife. And your baby.
That's Australia. That's
and you
not
had a
Africa.
Farm in Africa.
They didn't have dingoes in South Africa.
Well, it's a different movie.
Yeah.
It's a different Meryl Streep movie.
Different continent.
Different accent.
Okay. Anyway, where is
it, lady?
For his part, Rory.
Wowie.
I wonder if Bubba Walters will get the end of it with Wowie. Wowie, tell me. Why you raptured? What? Were you perhaps with a jazz what?
You ever met Wally Gallagher, the rock star?
Where did you meet the jazz what?
The jazz Jezebel.
The jazz Jezebel. Okay, for his part, Rory admits that he is now living with a woman, but denies that she was sent by Satan. Oh, then who did send you?
Satan.
Where do you find a good jazz Jezebel these days? I need one.
Chicago.
Okay.
I mean, that's where
Doug in North Carolina, you're on the Steph English Show. Hello.
I'm on crew. How y'all doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, it's funny you're talking about Sean Hannity's workout. I listen to him daily because I find his show is like a comedy show.
Right.
Complete hypocrisy. And he's been talking about this daily, about now how he's this, you know, macho man, tough guy. He even claims that he can knock out somebody in 6 seconds.
Right.
Anybody in 6 seconds. And it's like, well, gee, guy, now you're so tough and bold and you have a pair now. Why don't you go through on your bet about being waterboarded?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. There you go. There you go. There's some submission. Okay, 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It feels like Bieber. Nothing feels like Bieber.
I missed it.
What?
I didn't hear it.
I said nothing feels like Bieber.
I hear.
Oh.
Stephanie Miller.
It feels like Bieber. Nothing feels like Bieber.
Except Bieber.
Right. Okay. Okay. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Tom from Daytona. Steph, I don't understand why you think your Asian whore stereotype is so funny. Do you understand it's a derogatory stereotype?
That never occurred to me.
Mainly calls me a whore.
Right.
Constantly. It is our greeting and salutation for each other. It has nothing to do with her race.
The whore moniker is completely independent of her race. Yeah.
God's sakes, people.
The rod up that man's butt.
It's like the people who, I saw Gone Girl this weekend. Loved it. And, you know, I hear all these people saying it's misogynistic. No, it's not misogynistic. The woman in there is not representative of all females. Right. She's representative of that particular character.
Right. Okay. I don't know what you're talking about, I don't know what the movie's about,
yes,
but okay.
You really can't say what the movie's about because you'll give away the twist.
Okay, Stephen in Illinois. Tell me the twist.
No.
Stephen in Illinois.
And the Froog.
Rosebud's the sled.
Hi.
Titanic.
Hi, Stephen.
Rosebud's the sled.
Hi.
Hi.
I guess the issue I'm calling about, I'm a little bit uncomfortable with the way we're calling it marriage equality. I think that our marriage laws, what they're turning into, are kind of apartheid in a way, because Muslim families that are polygamous won't have their marriages recognized when they come to America, and I think that that's a barrier to peace in a lot of ways.
It is a barrier to peace.
So
the more families come over here from different cultures and work and are productive here, I think that creates an interest for, you know, peace, and that's why I favor integration. But I think our current laws, because
wow, so gay marriage is the same as polygamy.
Really, dude.
I'm sorry, what?
Well, that's a religious belief in polygamy.
Yeah, that's a religious thing. That's not a legal thing.
Okay. Yeah, but people are legally married in other countries.
I mean, we don't allow polygamy in say, Utah anymore among Mormons either.
Yeah, Utah got into the United States by virtue of them banning polygamy.
Yeah, and I think that's a problem. I think both Mormons and Muslims should have the freedom to have...
Are you trying to sneakily make the slippery slope argument?
Well, Stephen, here's the thing. They can marry whoever they want within their own religion. They can marry a whole bunch of people. It just won't be recognized legally by the United States because we as a society doesn't allow polygamy.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's a barrier to lawful immigration and families coming here.
How is that preventing families from coming here?
Well, if you're a Muslim family that...
If you're a Muslim family, you are more than welcome here.
But only one of the family members would have their marriage recognized, like the first wife or such. I think that's a huge problem when some of the kids would be...
Right, but you're saying it's preventing entire families from coming over here. It is not. It does no such thing. The entire family can come over.
Stephen, would I be wrong in suspecting that you are a right-wing guy trying to make a sneaky backdoor argument, slippery slope argument against gay marriage?
That's exactly what he's doing.
I'm not really trying to make an argument against
gay marriage. No, you're trying to troll us, dude.
No, he just wants to bang other chicks.
That's what it is. He was trying to trick
me
into that.
I'm making a political point so that my wife would let me have sex with...
He was trying to get us on record so that later on Fox News they could play that clip. See? Liberals for polygamy now because of Muslims and world peace.
Yeah, that's exactly what
whatever.
It is.
Something.
You nice
know
try.
What? I was born on a weekday, but not yesterday,
yeah.
My friend.
Yeah.
This ain't my first time at the rodeo. Have I mentioned that? And also not to f*** with me, boys?
Don't f*** with me, fellas! This ain't my first time at the rodeo.
Okay. Jim?
Hmm?
Who said, it is very easy to criticize the president, but this is an enormously complicated issue. We are here today because of the disastrous blunder of the Bush-Cheney era, which got us into this war in Iraq in the first place, and then developed the can of worms that we're trying to deal with right now. Who said that?
Barry Goldwater.
That would be hard because he spent... Okay.
Well, yeah.
No, Senator Bernie Sanders yesterday.
Ah, yeah.
Yes, on CNN. Uh-huh.
It's quite different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a really bad guess. We have been at war for 12 years. We've spent trillions of dollars. We have 500,000 men and women who have come home with PTSD. What I do not want and what I fear very much is the United States getting sucked into a quagmire and being involved in perpetual warfare year after year after year. That is my fear.
Slim Pickens. Nuclear combat toe-to-toe with the Ruskies.
No, that would be Senator Bernie Sanders. Okay. Oh, by the way, I don't know if you got stuck in West Side traffic, but Gwyneth Paltrow had the big fundraiser for President Obama.
Yeah.
What's the matter?
She probably shouldn't have done and said what she did and said at the fundraiser.
Do you think she got a Michelle? She flirted with President Obama, who is handsome and romantic.
She also said that Obama's policies help working mothers like herself.
Oh, she needs to shut her pie hole about
and
that
that's,
stuff.
Wow. Yeah, I know. I'm like, oh, Gwyneth, come on.
Oh, Gwynny.
She has a whole team of nannies and professors and whoever.
She consciously decoupled from that statement.
Yeah, she's not a traditional working mother juggling.
Yes. Didn't she? She already got in trouble with that, right? With the whole, like... What did she say? Oh, women with 9-to-5 jobs, it's just, it's easier for them than, you know, jet-setting world-famous movie stars like Megan Thee Stallion.
She
was married to a rock star. So
yes.
Come on.
Yeah, she just...
I bet Chris has got a little scratch.
Working probably, moms like her.
Yeah, that's like,
My God.
And that kind of gave fuel to people on the far right.
Right.
And, you know, it's like, whatever.
She needs to shut her goop hole.
Exactly. Just fundraise quietly.
Now I'm with Martha Stewart.
As long as she does it with a British accent.
Yes. Just stay on the west side and fundraise over there.
Just choosh now.
Yeah.
Gwyneth Paltrow says she could barely speak in front of the handsome. He is handsome and romantic. Yes. I've met him.
Mm-hmm.
She admitted to the president she was completely awestruck by his good looks as she attempted to hand him a microphone. She said, you're so handsome. I can hardly speak properly. I'm one of your biggest fans, if not the
once biggest. Michelle bashes you in the mouth, you're not going to be able to speak properly.
Then you'll be saying...
Yeah, then you'll be able to eat nothing but goop.
Michelle probably had to ask her, how do I get out of the house? How do I get this bookcase to open so I can get out?
Listen to me very carefully. Put the candle back.
She spit out a couple of teeth. She was flirting with the president in front of a 200-strong audience who had paid, reported $25,000 apiece to attend the event.
Which,
by the way, can I just tell you how many of these invitations I get?
Computer says no.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
You're on that list? That's because you went to Oprah's house.
I don't pay nothing to go nowhere. I'm like, are you kidding me? Delete. I've worn out my delete button. Stop sending me these things. I'm not paying. Okay.
You're on that list because you paid to go to Oprah's house.
That was like 1,000 years ago.
I know that was 1,000 years ago, but
I wanted
still.
To go to Oprah's house.
Yes.
And then guess what happened? Guess what you didn't get to see?
Oprah.
Oprah's house.
Oh. Well, you saw Oprah.
You saw the meadow.
Yeah. You had to be like 40 miles away. I think she had snipers on the roof.
Your heels sank into her meadow.
Yes.
You might as well have been at her Maui house. That's how close you were.
Yeah, that's what everyone did. They're like, oh, I want to see Oprah's house. And so, and that wasn't a huge expensive one. But that was when he was running for president.
Right.
Way back 1,000 years. That's it. It's the last time I ponied up for anything. And it was to see Oprah's house.
Well, you saw her house.
And then you were like with binoculars. Is it up there?
You saw her house.
Right. And it was in a meadow. You know why?
Why?
Because it said on the invitation to wear flats. Because she didn't want anybody to look better than her. And so no woman looks good in flats and a dress.
Did you wear heels?
No, I wore flats.
You wore flats, okay. All right.
because it was in a meadow with porta potties.
Was it a meadow or just a lawn?
She says it was a meadow.
But they were tastefully appointed porta potties.
It was like the sewage. It was probably like a sewage field.
Yeah, it was the lawn over there, the septic tank.
I fell for that one.
And as Irma Bombeck says, the grass is always greener over the septic tank.
That's right. Oh, wasn't that cute?
Thank you. A little
throwback. Yeah, oh, and that's where, remember Stevie Wonder sang?
Oh, that's right.
Right. Yeah, and Gail and Oprah were sitting in. I know Gail. Remember, May and I have told the story.
Right.
She used to host with her every Wednesday.
Yeah.
And so I went up to say hi to Gail.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately some very large security men went like this to me, and they said, not from behind. Do not approach Miss Winfrey from behind.
I was
like,
sorry.
Because she's been studying with Sean Hannity.
Probably get an elbow
she doesn't
to the
like
face.
The grappling. She doesn't like the submission grappling. It's like, sorry, I know Gail. Hi, Gail.
It sounds like the president should hire Oprah's security for his Secret Service.
Right, exactly. Because those people.
They do a lot better
than. You cannot
get
anywhere near Oprah or her house. Or she would shivier herself. Have you got anywhere near her house? That was, I almost did the crawl up the hillside.
Hey, Oprah, what you got up there?
No, wait.
I picture her house being like the Dracula's castle in Transylvania, up on the big rocky outcrop.
Yes. Yes. Could be worse.
Could
be raining.
Could be raining.
I have only 2 boxes. I do not drink wine.
Okay, another show business news.
Uh-huh.
Carol Burnett doesn't want to brag, but she's done it with a lot of famous guys. Her first time was with Leslie Nielsen, then Tony Roberts. She did it twice with Charlton Heston, twice with Cliff Robertson, once with Tom Selleck, once with John Cleese.
Carol Burnett?
Am I leaving anyone out? She says, I've been awfully busy. She meant she's doing this play, Love Letters.
Oh, okay. All right. I get it.
She's a scamp.
Has she done it with Robert Wagner? Everybody's done it with Robert Wagner.
Exactly. Love Letters. It's the play where they read the love letters on stage.
Right.
I saw her do it with Charlton Heston here.
Okay.
The play.
Oftentimes it's a famous couple like Robert Wagner and Stephanie Powers. They did a tour of Love Letters.
Right.
Yeah. And,
right.
They were on Heart to Heart. And when they met, it was murder.
It was murder.
When they met, it was murder.
I just
it was
love
always
line.
Murder because she never did a thing to help him when he was getting the beat out of him.
But her hair was always perfect.
She'd be like, Jonathan.
His hair was perfect.
So Jennifer, could you get me some help? Could you get me some help?
Could I interest you in a reverse mortgage?
I'm getting beaten to death by a fireplace poker here. Yeah, oh, man. Oh, Jonathan, what do I do?
And Max was
call
never
someone.
Any. Max was never any good. He was always out in the car.
Hey, Mr. H.
I met them.
I'm out here waiting for you. Yeah, well, I'm in here getting beaten to death by a pup because this bitch won't do anything.
Oh, 70s.
No, they shot an episode at UCLA near the theater department, so we got to meet them. Very nice.
Wow, very nice, very nice. All right, magically full circle.
Oh.
Okay, 46 minutes after the hour, back with the remaining moments of
that was odd. That was an odd little...
Jim's home.
Yeah.
Daddy's home. Daddy's home. Our little dysfunctional family's back together.
Hooray.
Yay. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
Are you done? Okay. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51. Sorry to interrupt your meal with our little show. 51 minutes after the hour.
I do not give you crap during the first hour when you are constantly shoving all kinds of food into your gullet.
1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, Mondays,
how do you know?
With maximum mookage, Jim Ward, voice TV extraordinaire. Oh, by the way, who was spectacular, as always, on the Happy Hour podcast, along with the deeply, deeply wrong Carlos Alzraki. And Jorge Lee will be joining us this Thursday for the, Friday. We post the audio Friday night, video Saturday. Diane says, okay, so now I'm spending the weekend with you as well with the new podcast, and I pay for it. Am I a whore? Yes.
Computer says yes.
Yes, Diane, you are. And you like it. You like it.
Take it.
Take it. All right. Oh, one more quick celebrity stack. Queen Elizabeth honors Angelina Jolie at the palace. She has honored campaigning actress in a Buckingham Palace ceremony. She made her an honorary dame. For her work against sexual violence.
She was an honorary broad. I mean, she became an honorary dame.
Exactly. In war zones.
With nice gams.
Right. Hey, nice pins.
We are delighted to bestow honorary damehood on Angelina Jolie, who's worked tirelessly for British foreign policy and especially for her work against sexual violence. Although we must say that given her proclivity towards playing with knives, one wonders if there was any sexual violence chez Jolie Pitt. Perish the thought. Come, Brad, come to Money's bosom. Let Money shield from that nasty, nasty tart. Come to us, Brad, and massage our royal bunions. We would be powerfully amused.
Yeah, I bet you, Brad. Pitt would like to tap that.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Especially since he's already had Angelina.
Yes. Right.
And
there
Jennifer.
Nowhere else to go.
And Jennifer.
Right.
Teen Jen.
All right, I saved this so you can say something nice about Edward Snowden. Maybe he's not as big a douche as we thought to his girlfriend. Apparently she has moved to Moscow to be with him.
Oh, good.
Or his dancer girlfriend, something.
He dragged her from Hawaii to Moscow.
We thought
is
this
that
was
an
all,
upgrade?
We just thought this was Hawaii, the worst, like Moscow. The most douchey breakup ever. But apparently she's.
Is that an upgrade?
Winter in Maui, winter
in Moscow.
Ferguson. More than 1,000 people gathered in Ferguson. This stuff is not like going away in Ferguson, Missouri.
No.
More than 1,000 people gathered Saturday for a second day of organized rallies to protest Michael Brown's death. Crowd was larger than the one Friday.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Rand Paul, who, by the way, thinks we should rethink the Civil Rights Act,
yeah,
said the GOP not reaching out to African Americans is the biggest mistake we've made. Oh, actually, there's
been a few more.
Probably. he said, I think in the Republican Party, the biggest mistake we made in the last several decades is we haven't gone into the African American community. Oh, no, I think you have and been really patronized.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the problem. Maybe if you stay out of the app, that would probably be more advisable.
Mm-hmm.
Into the NAACP and say, you know what, we are concerned about what's going on in your cities and we have plans.
Yeah, bad ones.
Right.
Yeah.
They may be different than the Democrats, but we do have plans and we do want to help. Oh, yes.
Sure.
Who else had a plan? Never
Hitler?
Mind. No, never mind. I don't.
Mein Führer, I have a plan.
Wendy Davis campaign defends a controversial attack ad against Greg Abbott. I thought this was fair game. He is partially paralyzed.
Mm-hmm. And in a wheelchair.
Right, but he has opposed litigation on behalf of disabled victims, even though he successfully sued for his accident. The ad says Abbott argued against a woman whose leg was amputated, was not disabled because she had an artificial limb. He ruled against a rape victim who sued a corporation for failing to do a background check on a sexual predator. He sided with a hospital that failed to stop a dangerous surgeon who paralyzed patients. Let's see. What this ad, and they defended the ad, saying what this ad shows is after rightly seeking justice for himself, Greg Abbott turned around and spent his entire career denying the same kind of justice to other victims, whether they were victims of brutal rape, whether they were disabled individuals, or whether they were patients who were maimed by a surgeon who was under the influence. These are important questions Texans have the right to know about. Yeah, they don't like it when they do the tough ads back, you know?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
It's not fair. Hey.
So you know that the gay Republican congressional candidate
down in San Diego?
Yes, the Boner is pledged to support and is going to fundraise for.
Yeah,
he's under some sexual harassment allegations.
Oh dear.
Hmm.
Well, you know, some Republican staffers have technically accidentally had gay sex. Well, I mean, they don't apparently sometimes they don't always have sex with people that are conscious.
They thought Grindr was just a sandwich.
Right, yeah. And then they claim clumsiness. Like, I tripped, and suddenly his was...
And,
What?
Hey, you know, it happens.
I rolled over, and, you know, he woke up with...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His...
Right.
In my...
Right.
So I don't know if these are true, but Republican congressional candidate Carl DeMeo denied an allegation of sexual harassment from a former staffer on Friday, saying the staffer is clearly troubled.
Clearly.
Todd Bosnick is the staffer.
Hmm.
He said one morning last April, he arrived early at the campaign headquarters, and DeMeo called him back to his office. He said, I came over to his office, the door was open, and he was masturbating. I saw his hand, his penis in his hand, and he had a smile on his face. Well, most men do, in his defense, when the...
Well... could have locked the door.
Oh, pardon me. Were you okay? DeMeo has faced similar problems in the past. Last year, he was accused of masturbating in a San Diego City Hall bathroom facility in 2009. Did I mention that Boner is
supporting him? Yeah.
Huh.
Fundraising.
Boner supporting the Boner guy, yeah. Which is, makes some sense. Yes. Don't know if any of that's true, but. Yeah.
So maybe he dyed his wiener orange in solidarity with...
Right.
Could be. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's what he was doing. He was dyeing his wiener.
That's what it was.
That, right. Yeah.
Oh, this is good news. Another just penis-related news. Vancouver officials, Jim, have taken down the statue of Satan with a monster penis. That is
thank God. Whew.
It was a rogue art installation.
Ah.
Yes. It was complete with horns and a tail. It is anatomically complete. But thank God. I don't know what that was about. Thank God they got rid of that.
And happy Thanksgiving to Canada today.
Yes.
Because it's Thanksgiving in Canada.
Happy Thanksgiving, eh?
Happy Thanksgiving, eh?
Yeah.
All right. Jim, you are weird and delightful.
Some,
thanks
turkey
for coming
poutine.
All right. That's it for us. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.